Little Miss Sophie by Alice Dunbar Nelson. When Miss Sophie knew consciousness again, the long, faint, swelling notes of the organ were dying away in distant echoes through the great arches of the silent church, and she was alone, crouching in a little, forsaken black heap at the altar of the Virgin. The twinkling tapers shone pityingly upon her. The beneficent smile of the white-robed Madonna seemed to whisper comfort. A long gust of chill air swept up the aisles, and Miss Sophie shivered not from cold, but from nervousness. But darkness was falling, and soon the lights would be lowered, and the great massive doors would be closed. So gathering her thin little cape about her frail shoulders, Miss Sophie hurried out, and along the brilliant, noisy streets home. It was a wretched, lonely little room where the cracks let the boisterous wind whistle through, and the smoky, grimy walls looked cheerless and unhomelike. A miserable little room in a miserable little cottage in one of the squalid streets of the third district that nature and the city fathers seemed to have forgotten. As bare and comfortless as the room was Miss Sophie's life. She rented these four walls from an unkempt little Creole woman whose progeny seemed like the promised offspring of Abraham. She scarcely kept the flickering life in her pale little body by the unceasing toil of a pair of bony hands, stitching, stitching, ceaselessly, wearingly, on the bands and pockets of trousers. It was her bread, this monotonous, unending work. And though whole days and nights constant labor brought but the most meager recompense, it was her only hope of life. She sat before the little charcoal brazier and warmed her transparent, needle-pricked fingers, thinking meanwhile of the strange events of the day. She had been uptown to carry the great black bundle of coarse pants and vests to the factory and to receive her small pittance, and on the way home stopped at the Jesuit church to say her little prayer at the altar of the calm white Virgin. There had been a wondrous burst of music from the great organ as she knelt there, an overpowering perfume of many flowers, the glittering dazzle of many lights, and the dainty frou-frou made by the silken skirts of wedding guests. So Miss Sophie stayed to the wedding, for what feminine heart, be it ever so old and seared, does not delight in one? And why should not a poor little Creole old maid be interested too? Then the wedding party had filed in solemnly to the rolling, swelling tones of the organ. Important-looking groomsmen, dainty, fluffy, white-robed maids, stately, satin-robed, illusion-veiled bride, and happy groom. She leaned forward to catch a better glimpse of their faces. Ah, those near the Virgin's altar who heard a faint sigh and rustle on the steps glanced curiously as they saw a slight, black-robed figure clutch the railing and lean her head against it. Miss Sophie had fainted. "I must have been hungry," she mused over the charcoal fire in her little room. "I must have been hungry." And she smiled a wan smile and busied herself getting her evening meal of coffee and bread and ham. If one were given to pity, the first thought that would rush to one's lips at sight of Miss Sophie would have been, "Poor little woman." She had come among the bareness and sordidness of this neighborhood 5 years ago, robed in crepe and crying with great sobs that seemed to shake the vitality out of her. Perfectly silent, too, she was about her former life. But for all that, Michelle, the quartier grocer at the corner, and Madame Laurent, who kept the Robbie shop opposite, had fixed it all up between them of her sad story and past glories. Not that they knew, but then Michel must invent something when the neighbors came to him as their fountainhead of